You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, the first show of tonight's Wednesday Warfare, followed by Sports Guys Talking Wrestling right after us. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And with me, as always, the man who also put his modeling career on hold for mixed martial arts, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger.
Eddie, what an intro. Thank you so much. It's great to be with you, Eddie. And guys, you can find me on Twitter at NonstopMMA. You can find us both on Twitter at FightNightATX.
Will they see your modeling pictures?
Engage. Engage with us. If you're out there, send us a tweet. Let us know you're listening. Let us know your thoughts on the fights. You saw the fights last week. We've got some big fights coming up this week. As our good friend Brian Campbell at CBS Radio and the City of New York, if you see something, say something. Come reach out to us. We want to know that you're listening.
So Fight Night Airport.
Yeah, there you go, Eddie. So how's it? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little. Well, I say good. It's because I don't like to complain too much. But yeah, man, I woke up like three times in the night with a sore throat. I've been hacking stuff up. Almost skipped work. But you know what? I'm here. Because we love to talk about fights.
I'm excited. I'm glad you're here. You got your Strike League, Austin Zone, Strike League shirt on. I like that.
Strike League, join the Bullet Club.
Yeah, in the form of the Bullet Club, Eddie. Yeah. Well, this weekend, Eddie, I had the chance. I was actually in Houston. So I texted you, I think on Thursday night, I said I wasn't going to be able to go watch the fights with you on Saturday night.
Right.
Because I was going to be in Houston. And I had a great opportunity, Eddie, to be down in Houston and spend some time, mucking out houses. I think I mucked around... mucked out like five houses.
Wow.
And it was heartbreaking.
Was it just like a shoveling dirt and mud?
Nope. It was like with a saw cutting out, sheetrock. It was ripping out kitchens.
Wow. How's your back?
My back is fine.
It was fine.
It was the toughest part. Obviously is the people who are just like, no, to throw everything away.
Right.
Like get rid of it all. And that was the toughest part. But the highlight for me was, I remember as I was pulling into, we were out in Katy. And as we were pulling into this neighborhood, the traffic to get into these neighborhoods to go help.
Right.
The lines of people trying to help out. And that was inspiring.
Well, that's
awesome. That times in need, of people were out there giving out food, people driving down the streets, giving out cookies, people asking, hey, can we come help you? We're done with this house. Can we go help you? And so I spent all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and it was a great experience. And I think I'll be going back down there. In a couple of weeks as well. So
Jordan, you're a good man.
Well, it's you do what you can, and there's so many people that have lost so much, and it's really sad and it's unfortunate. I caught a fish in the street. So that was interesting. And so I was going back to my hotel on Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, it's late. I was tired, and I was like, I want to watch the fight. I also want to watch the BYU Utah game.
Right.
And BYU Utah was going to be on. It was on ESPN2. And I go to the TV, ESPN2 is like dark and you can barely make out anything.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh man, I have to go somewhere. So I look at the UFC Bars app to find out where the fight is showing. I call a couple of Buffalo Wild Wings. Mm-hmm. They're no longer showing fights for some reason. The closest place that was showing the fight, 28 miles away. So I got in my car. I hooked it over there.
Did you have to go to Baytown or something?
I don't know. I don't know where I was, honestly. And so I went and found a place where they were showing the fight. It was actually awesome. I think I tweeted a picture out there.
You did.
It was a big, huge screen of the fight in the middle and then four TVs around it. So we had the USC-Stanford game. We had Clemson Auburn game on. Ohio State-Oklahoma. That was like the big one because it was in Houston. A lot of people were Ohio State fan or Oklahoma fans.
Right.
Then we had the fight.
Because there's nowhere in Oklahoma worth staying. Gotcha.
That's true. So, but it was, and then I watched the fights and then I drove the 28 miles back to my hotel room.
That's some dedication.
And watched the end of the BYU game there, which I was not happy about BYU losing last week.
Well, I also gave of myself on Saturday where I spent most of the day at my former coworker Jessica's wedding. I had to drive up to Salado at like noon. And I get to the church. There's like three cars out front. I'm like, it's 12:20. The invitation said 12:30. So I'm standing there going, am I at the right church?
Did you bring a present?
I did.
Okay.
Yes. I brought her husband Juan some a new barbecue tool set.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm there. I'm like, I told you the story last year where one of my most shameful moments, I kind of missed my aunt's funeral. I'm thinking, oh no. Did I do it again? No, I'm fine. I'm just literally the third person there.
Okay, so more people started showing up.
Yeah, they started showing up, but the wedding kind of stretched out. But as we get out, it's right at the first quarter of the Texas-San Jose State game.
And by then, it's already over?
No, no, not yet. It's just starting. Texas hasn't scored yet. So I pull up my phone. I'm going to pull up, watch ESPN, get the Longhorn Network. I finally figured out my login again. Nothing. Error. You can't watch this right now.
Sounds like Mayweather McGregor for so many people.
Was the whole world trying to watch Texas San Jose State and Salida?
No,
what's
going
on?
They were not.
Yeah. So I spent the rest of the reception trying to get updates. Of course, the reception's out at this ranch out in the middle of nowhere. I swear I thought I was going into a horror movie. Yeah, so no reception. Trying to like eke out updates on the game. I finally leave at like 5:36.
All right, Eddie. Yeah. So that's 6 minutes of us not talking about fights. All right, people are here. You're listening. We're probably getting tweets right now saying, start talking about fights. That's what we're here for.
I want to hear my struggle.
So I get it. So all right, so UFC 215 in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, Eddie. On Thursday night, we hear that Ray Borg, who has already missed weight twice in his UFC career, mm-hmm. two of his four times, is sick. Not related to weight cut, they say, is sick and will not be fighting Demetrius Johnson. So the chance to fight for the record for the 11 consecutive title defenses
right.
is done.
And once again, you were my bearer of bad news.
I was. I was proud of myself on doing that. I wanted to make sure, and you didn't text me back. I was a little disappointed. I wanted to be that person that told you.
It was kind of late. So. I saw it, and I looked at it, I was just like, son of a...
So Ray Borg now has pulled out of, let's say he missed weight in two, pulled out of this third fight. What's mm-hmm. the chance that he doesn't get that next fight, that he doesn't get the title shot with Demetrius Johnson next?
It's a pretty good chance.
If you were the UFC and you've seen a history of this, you know, remember, DJ did not want to fight TJ Dillashaw because he was worried about him missing weight and pulling out of the fight.
Right.
So he wanted Sergio Pettis. The UFC wanted Ray Borg.
Yeah, he won an actual flyweight. And they say that this wasn't weight cut related, but you're more susceptible.
If your body is cutting
sick.
That much weight
yeah.
and you have a history of it, your body is more susceptible to getting sick.
Exactly.
And you may say it's not weight cut related. It's weight cut related.
It's not related to your pounds, but it's related to what you've done to your body cutting all the weight.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. So, you know, maybe someone like a Sergio Pettis, Henry Cejudo, he looked very good on Saturday night. Remember Wilson Hayes, he fought Demetrius Johnson. Henry Cejudo had a great performance, especially compared to Demetrius Johnson, who always looks good.
Mm-hmm.
He brought it to and finished him, second round finish, TKO punches.
Maybe we put Borg and Cejudo, who's just one win from losing to DJ.
Yeah.
Put those two together. Winner gets next shot after Sergio Pettis.
Yeah, so I think they're still going to go with Borg because they talked about trying to get that fight next month on October 7th at UFC 216.
Yeah, no, DJ wants it as soon as possible.
Yeah, that would make sense. And Ray Borg, if he's really just sick, then it shouldn't be an issue.
Also, UFC 216 kind of sucks.
I'm excited for Tony Ferguson, Kevin Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. There's
Verdum
not
a... and Derek Lewis will be good. But
yeah.
Other than that, do you have any big sellers? Do you have anyone with a name?
Well, Demetrius Johnson is not going to add a ton of pay-per-views. Because
not
he's
a ton,
the fight, so.
But he is in a lot of commercials nowadays.
That's true. Those Metro some, PCS.
Yeah, he's bringing yeah. some. He's bringing that one with the belts.
Yeah, like, that's your picture.
Yeah, I'll be back for that. Yeah.
So Jeremy Stephens versus Gilbert Melendez. Now actually picked. First off, Eddie, going back to Henry Cejudo versus Wilson Hayes. You beat me last week, and you beat me because of your cheap pick of Henry Cejudo. In our when we make our picks, you picked Wilson Hayes. Then you try to come back and say, no, I wrote it down wrong. I actually picked Henry Cejudo.
I didn't write it down wrong. I said it wrong.
Speaking is hard. I know that, Eddie.
Hey,
I get it.
Listen, Roman Reigns. No, I actually printed out my pick sheet.
Unbelievable.
With the big X under Cejudo.
So, yeah. So, you beat me 2-1.
I showed you how it was real. It was already done.
I wasn't there. You didn't show me. So, there we go. All right. So, if we had...
I was there last week.
Yeah. So, in the other fight that you got right, Jeremy Stephens versus Gilbert Melendez. Now... Mm-hmm. Did you see Gilbert Melendez? And if you haven't seen this, go to Kerry Melendez's or Gilbert Melendez. Just Google Gilbert Melendez's leg.
You know what? I haven't seen that.
That is, she tweeted out a picture of his leg. It's like remember Uriah Faber's leg when he fought Jose Aldo?
Oh, yeah.
Like how big it was? This is that new picture, okay? It's, I thought they should have called that fight after the first. Maybe his team should have thrown in the towel.
Yeah, he's got some skinny legs.
That was a rough you know,
shot. I've been trying to avoid MMA pictures because of the one.
Ed Herman's?
Ed Herman's finger.
I saw it. It's not good.
I'm trying not to see that.
Well, that, I mean, that, he says warning, but I don't ever see the words first. I see pictures first. Ed Herman, come on now. But Jeremy Stephens, no, he looked very good. Probably one of the most dominant, you know, one of the best performances of his career. Gilbert Melendez, I think that's now, is it 4 out of 5 or is it not 5 out of 6 that he's lost? So that's going to be, I mean, it's rough sledding for Gilbert Melendez since he's come to the UFC. You know, the Strikeforce champion, we wanted to see those top fights, and he's lost to some great people. Jeremy Stephens, obviously, lesser of the people he's lost to in the past. But, you know, Jeremy Stephens, he's interested in fighting Jose Aldo, maybe at Madison Square Garden. That would be a great fight. That'd be something I would be interested in.
Yeah, that would be a fun one. And I just, for me, I wasn't as impressed with Gilbert Melendez, especially after the steroid issue. Mm-hmm. And just him coming to the UFC hasn't been a great run. And he is a more natural featherweight. You know, just look at his size.
But remember that fight you watched in Houston against Diego Sanchez?
I do.
It was great.
It was. But Diego Sanchez has also been on his way down for a long time.
Yeah. All right, so the co-main event of the night, Rafael Dos Anjos.
Oh, you're right. There's that leg. That's ugly.
Yeah. Rafael Dos Anjos just kind of manhandles Neil Magny.
Man, and it hurt me to watch, but I did pick it just for that reason. Neil Magny has trouble getting up off his back when he's taken down by a good wrestler. And Rafael Dos Anjos has good wrestling. He's just been more of a knockout artist lately.
So yesterday you tweeted me, or you, I guess you emailed me a tweet about them talking about RDA fighting Tyron Woodley next. What do you think about that?
You know what? It might be a little early. Give me one more win. Neil Magny has never really been like a top five guy. But one more win, and I'm all for it. Look, but really, who's left right now?
First off, Masvidal, Lawler, somebody else. People don't care about Rafael Dos Anjos. People didn't care about him last year when he was fighting Eddie Alvarez on Fight Pass, when he lost his title on Fight Pass.
That's
on a Thursday night.
He
lost to Tony Ferguson. That was not on pay-per-view. I think that was maybe a Fox Sports 1 card.
And when you say people, you just mean casual fans who need a big name.
Or big fans who don't watch on Fight Pass either. They're just not into it. So if you think that Tyron Woodley is going to accept a fight against Rafael Dos Anjos after this fight with Damian Maia, that's the last fight that he wants to take, because he knows that that doesn't bring eyeballs and it doesn't bring money. And that's what Woodley's about. That's why he's talking about going up to middleweight to chase George St. Pierre. I don't see Rafael Dos Anjos getting the next title shot.
The way that the UFC's treated him as far as just making him take the next guy in line, can't say I completely blame him, because he has just gone, you know, in order.
Sure.
He's one of the big money fights, but then everyone complains that he's asking for big money fights after not beating people.
Yeah, so I just think that where Tyron Woodley is, he's not taking that title fight. So, the next fight I would look at, so we go to the main event, and it was supposed to be Demetrius Johnson versus Ray Borg. That fight doesn't happen. It's Amanda Nunes versus Valentina Shevchenko.
Bullet.
This fight was supposed to happen at UFC 213. Amanda Nunes, she pulls out the day of the fight. I broke those bad news to you as well.
You're like the Reaper.
What did you think, Eddie, of this fight? People are, you know, it's razor close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people saw this fight going either way. I thought in the fifth round, when Valentina Shevchenko gets up, she defends that takedown. She goes for kind of the side, the headlock takedown.
Right.
She misses it. Amanda Nunes gets on top of her.
It's one that Joe Rogan talks about all the time.
That really kind of sealed the fight. But Shevchenko's been really vocal. She really feels like she lost, that she was kind of, that belt was stolen from her.
I'm not sure what fight she was watching. Because like you said, I would have been okay with it going either way.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it was
like
a split decision.
I didn't feel like either one of them really asserted themselves enough to be able to say without a shadow of a doubt that they won that fight. You know? And to me, I know it's not the rule, but you got to beat the champ.
So you're saying that the old adage of Ric Flair, to be the champ, you've got to beat the champ.
Yes.
Or be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yes.
And or woman in this case.
I didn't feel either one of them did enough to claim claim victory, like in a very assertive way.
So for me, I'll tell you, by this time, it's been a long day. I left Austin at 6 a.m. I drove to Houston. I worked all day. And now it's like almost midnight. It's over midnight. And
sounds like the life of a trucker.
I am getting tired here, and I'm trying to watch that
fight.
There
are guys driving on I-35 right now and going, oh, poor baby.
Yeah, I'm sure. and so it was tough. I mean, I saw the fight could go either way. I knew that either way I was not going to be upset, but I definitely noticed that takedown, when that failed attempt for, you know, that headlock takedown,
mm-hmm.
I knew that was going to be a critical kind of misfire of Valentina Shevchenko. Yeah.
Now, Shevchenko did have a point when she said she actually did more in those positions. Like when she was on the bottom, right after the Nunes was on her back.
Yep.
She was actually landing more punches. Nunes was just kind of holding on for the end of the round. But you're still on your back.
Yeah, no, I mean, and judges see that. They see that you're on your back. So it's really interesting. Now, they're not going to do this fight again. They're not going to run this back right away for the third time.
It's very much in the Woodley Wonderboy era where no one wants to see it again.
Well, they fought twice now, and Nunes has won both times.
It's the same thing. We've seen it. We've seen it again. You haven't done enough to win either time. We're done with it. We're just done.
So
if you had all this energy to complain afterwards, you should have been using it in the third, fourth, and fifth round when you thought that Nunes would have been getting tired.
Yeah.
Instead, you're just trying to counterpunch. How about a little investment in the body punches against someone that you know has a tendency to tire out?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Talking about how red her nose is. Hit her in the ribs.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. What I'd really like to see of Shevchenko, we know that the UFC is starting the flyweight division.
Yes.
The 125-pound. It's on Tough right now. I want to see her go there. I think she'd be dominant at 125.
She really could be. And if Joanna Young Jacek finally decides to move up, I mean, those two have a history.
Yeah, they fought in a Muay Thai fight before.
Yeah, I think. And it's been like three or four matches, and Shevchenko's undefeated against Young Jacek.
No, that would be a fight that I really want to see.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that fight in the octagon. But obviously, you know, Young Jacek has to decide that she wants to move up. But I think that for Shevchenko, she should definitely go down to 125.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you.
Okay. So what do we do with Nunes? I mean, Holly Holm, we're hearing that she's going to go fight against Chris Cyborg at 145.
That's awesome.
You've got Raquel Pennington. Kat Zingano, she's got a win over Amanda Nunes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's someone that you could be interesting, Raquel Pennington versus Kat Zingano, winner. And I know Kat Zingano hasn't, she hasn't done much to put her at the top of the division.
Right.
But she does have a win over Nunes.
And I would think Rocky Pennington's next, and I know she's a violent, violent woman, and that'll be a fun fight, but she hasn't fought since, like, November, so she's been dealing with some injuries, so it's been a year.
See, that was at UFC 205 in New York.
Yeah, so do you throw her back in, you know, immediately into a title fight after being off for a year?
I think, what else do you do?
Right.
There's really nobody else, Eddie, that you could put in there.
So, I'm all for it.
Any other takeaways? I mean, were you happy with UFC 215 as a whole?
Let me see. I was very shocked and surprised by the performance of Henry Cejudo. I mean, he looked like a little Lyoto Machida. He even had the karate stance. You can combine that kind of stand-up with his wrestling pedigree. He might finally be a force for Demetrius Johnson to deal with if he ever gets his way to the rematch. Sarah Morris on the prelim card, she did to Ashley Evans Smith in an armbar. I don't know if it was broken or just dislocated, but she actually said, and when she was talking to Joe Rogan, she was happy that she broke it. It's like, I hope it is broken. It's like, you do not look like that kind of person. I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good first foray for the UFC in Edmonton. Obviously, looking forward to, you know, when they go back to Canada, Canada's really got to get invigorated. And I want to see more good shows in Canada.
I think they've got a UFC on Fox coming up in Canada,
yeah,
right?
They do. So, yeah. All right, guys. So that's UFC 215. We're going to be right back. We got a lot of news to talk about. You are listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. We will be right back. All right, so welcome back to Fight Night ATX on 104.9 The Horn. Guys, we're now going to play a little game that we call Take It or Leave It. Now, before we do that, guys, we are at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Facebook.
Have you been snapping much?
I mean, I snap when I can. I don't think I've snapped in a while. But engage with us. Reach out to us. Tell us you're out there. We want to hear from you. Eddie might give you some fun things. You know.
Now, I do block trolls.
Okay.
Just so you know, because I don't have the time.
Okay. Please,
and I don't
want
to say
Eddie.
Anything that'll get me fired.
All right. Well. Well, let's get into a little bit of Take It or Leave It. This is our version of buy or sell.
Let's do it.
So thank you to the Strokes, obviously, for that that chorus of Take It to Leave It.
Tune.
I know, I like it. So I'm going to give you a few topics of the news.
All right.
And I want you to take it if you're going to, you think it's real or you're going to buy it, or leave it if you're selling it, right?
Yep.
All right. So, Eddie, do you remember the press conference before UFC 202? The infamous.
Was that the bottle throwing?
The infamous bottle throwing, you know, incident.
Take
right?
it.
Yes. Okay. So, Conor McGregor, he throws a Monster Energy can at Nate Diaz.
Yeah, how do you get a sponsorship after that?
He does have a sponsorship. Yeah. But a man claims that he was hit in the back by that Monster can, mm-hmm. right? And he has filed a lawsuit against Conor McGregor and is seeking $95,000. $5,000 for medical issues, $90,000 to make up for everything else.
Right.
Based on what McGregor made that night.
Cumulative damages, yes. Yeah.
Take it or leave it. William Pegg, the man who is suing Conor McGregor, gets $0.
Leave it. If he can prove that he was hit, he gets something.
You think they'll settle and get something?
Yes. Also, could he have a more perfect name?
Yes, William Pegg.
William Pegg.
The real question is, why are we hearing this a year later? Like, UFC 202 was over a year ago.
I think he filed the lawsuit in, like, March. The part that sucks for him is that if he had filed that lawsuit in, like, June or July after the announcement of the money fight, those punitive damages would have been much higher.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, we already know. It'd
have been at least $1 million.
There we go.
But before then, back in March, we still thought this fight wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
And
all right. So speaking of Conor and Nate, Eddie, it looks like Las Vegas is already expecting Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz 3 as the next fight for both fighters.
All right.
Take it or leave it. Conor McGregor wins the third fight, which would be defended at 155 pounds for the lightweight championship.
Oh, man. You know what? At this point, I am going to leave it. Nate Diaz wins the fight, 209, all the way. Suck it, homie. Don't be scared.
Can you imagine, first off, can you imagine Tony Ferguson, how upset he would be Nate Diaz wins the UFC title?
Or Kevin Lee.
No, just saying, no. I'm not saying Kevin Lee if he wins. I'm just saying
Nate Diaz. No, you said Tony Ferguson would be upset.
I'm not saying that. Tony Ferguson... After all he's gone through, Kevin Lee knows that he's kind of new to the game on this one.
Yeah.
But Tony Ferguson has put in so much work to see Nate Diaz come in. And I think he said he was going to Stockton slap Nate Diaz if he got it. One other thing. So I was in Las Vegas Labor Day weekend. I saw a guy with a Nate Diaz shirt on that said, "I ain't surprised." And it was that face of Nate.
Right.
And I looked up at the baggage claim. Where was that flight from? Stockton. So Stockton, on Spirit Airlines, flew from Stockton to Las Vegas. All right, Eddie. Last week, MMA Fighting's Ariel Helwani, he confirmed that Chris Cyborg recently applied and she was granted a boxing license in California.
Right.
So Cyborg's contract is up in October, but the UFC's got a one-year exclusive negotiating window with her as a champion. Take it or leave it, Cyborg professionally boxes in 2018.
I'm going to take it.
Okay.
Now, do I think that's her new career path? No. But I do think she'll get a fight or two under her belt just for something else to do. Because I've seen her do Muay Thai before. I've seen her in lion fights. I've actually seen her lose in lion fights.
Yeah.
So,
she's friends with Clarissa Shields, and she was in her corner, but she boxes and trains with Clarissa Shields
right,
as well.
Right, so it's not outside her realm to actually do some boxing. So I'll take it.
Okay, I like that. All right, Eddie. Last week, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, former owners of the UFC, they sold their remaining UFC shares for around $60 million. Okay?
That was like, 4% or something?
5.8, I think it was.
Oh, man.
Take it or leave it. The Fertitta brothers were just waiting for the end of Mayweather-McGregor to happen and then finally cash out those shares. And let's not be surprised. 2 weeks after Mayweather-McGregor, those guys are like, peace, I'm out. We want all our money. Lorenzo Fertitta has a hand in making that fight happen, and then they're out.
You know what? They took a look at the future. They said, nothing else is going to be this high ever again. Yeah, I'm going to take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. Also, side note, also a new ticket to leave it for you.
Okay. Off the rails.
Okay. Fertitta, third cousin, Tillman Fertitta,
yes.
Just purchased the Houston Rockets. Take it or leave it.
I want to work for the Fertitta family.
Yeah.
Take it.
Take it or leave it. Houston Rockets make the Western Conference Finals 2018.
Ooh.
Western Conference Finals. So you got to think
over my Spurs.
Yeah, over your Spurs.
Oh,
we know they're not going over the Warriors.
You know what?
Chris Paul, James
added?
Harden.
Chris Paul. Yeah. They added someone else too.
Not Carmelo yet.
No, not yet. Until they add another piece, I'm going to leave it.
Okay.
Chris Paul and James Harden play too similarly. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work yet.
Okay, well, we'll find out.
Until they add like a good power forward, I'm going to have to leave it.
All right. At UFC 215, UFC and Reebok, they debuted new fight kits.
Yes.
So they're going to be working with some of the champions and some of the main event fighters. But overall, Eddie, take it or leave it, are you satisfied with the changes that Reebok and the UFC made to the fight kits?
I will not be completely satisfied until they leave a spot for the fighters to at least have one big sponsor for themselves. Not just the Monster or whoever that the UFC allows them to be sponsored by. Until they let the fighters have one main sponsor, until I see DJ with Xbox on his butt again, then I won't be satisfied.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, actually, surprise, surprise, I've got a boxing take it or leave it.
What?
All right. So on Tuesday, Kevin Ioli, he's from Yahoo Sports, he reported that WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder is defending his title against Luis Ortiz on November 4th at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Now,
nice.
November 4th might seem like a familiar date to you. It's the same day as UFC 217 at Madison Square Garden.
That is bad timing.
Or is it? Take it or leave it. After the success of Mayweather versus McGregor, Joshua versus Klitschko, and the presumed success of Canelo versus Triple G, take it or leave it. The scheduling of this fight so close to UFC 217 is a sign from boxing saying to the UFC that they are back.
I got to take it again.
This is deliberate.
That is ballsy.
You don't go to Barclays if you know the UFC is at Madison Square Garden, unless you mean to do it and you're sending out, you know, you're making a statement.
Or someone's going to get fired for not checking calendars around town because that's just dumb. Or it's ballsy. Yeah. But, man, the same night?
Same night.
Wow. And here I was thinking I need to check my football schedule.
Yeah.
See who UT's got on November the 4th.
Yeah. No, that's you got GSP coming back.
Man, I got a couple take it or leave it's for you, Jordan.
All right. I love it.
All right. Take it or leave it, Conor McGregor defends a lightweight title before Ferguson or Lee defend the interim lightweight title.
I'm going to take it because I don't think that Ferguson or Lee could come back as soon as either. They're not fighting the Detroit card. That's not going to happen.
They're fighting in
October 7th.
Late October, yeah.
Early October 7th.
Oh, yeah.
Conor McGregor, I think if he doesn't fight December 30th, he fights maybe Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't think those guys fight before that, unless they're fighting each other.
But, you know, Conor likes to take his time. If he fights in January, we might not see him again until August.
Yeah, but he's defending the title in January.
Is he defending the title, or is he just fighting Nate?
No. Conor said at the end of the last fight, the next time I fight you, it'll be at 155 to defend the title.
All right, so that's one.
Yeah, I got that.
Here's number two.
Okay, I like it.
This week, it finally happened. I know you're excited. You could barely contain yourself earlier.
So excited. I'm not even sure what we're talking about, Eddie, but I'm so excited.
Take it or leave it, you will have the new iPhone before Thanksgiving.
Are we talking the iPhone X or the iPhone 8?
Yes.
Okay. So the answer is take it, Eddie. Well, hopefully. I hope to take it. So I actually can't. I want to get the iPhone X. The iPhone X looks very good. The facial recognition, I like that.
What happens to the home button?
The full screen, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with no home screen.
It weirds me out not having buttons, man.
But you can't get that phone until November 3rd. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard that they're only able to make 10,000 iPhones a day. But in order for them to keep up with demand, I think it was something like they had to make like over like 400,000 iPhones a day in order to keep up demand.
Lord.
So it's going to be tough to get it.
Yeah.
So I want to say take it because I'll be there on October 27th when the pre-order comes out.
I was thinking maybe with your position in a noted company, you could kind of move to the front of the line.
No. I could be there early at Verizon.
You could take time off.
I mean, it's, you know, Verizon opens at 8. I can be there early. No, it's going
to
be a big day. And
you need to be there October, like 8 the night before.
Yeah, probably. October 27th, I will be in line to pre-order my phone. But if you want the iPhone 8 Plus, you can actually get that next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
take it or leave it, your wife lets you stand in line the night before for the iPhone X.
Ooh, that's, you know, depends on what time I go down there. So take it or leave it. Am I going to get a Super Nintendo Classic? I'm going to leave it. Those things are as hard to get as possible. It's the worst.
I don't know why people like going backwards.
You don't even know what that is. All right.
I go forward on my games.
So I've got some new fights for you. You ready?
Hit us with it.
All right. So, excuse me. One other one. John Jones.
Oh, no.
The B sample came back and it was failed again.
Right.
So now we've got to give him due process. He is entitled to his day in front of the commission.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Take it or leave it. John Jones fights in the UFC before 2020.
Ooh, let's see. When what year? His last
what
fight
year,
was
what
July?
Year is it right now? No, it's 2017.
His last fight was July?
Yes. So, it's a 3-year suspension. Yeah. It's a 2.5-year suspension.
I'm going to say something weird happened, and he gets at most 2 years.
So it comes back right...
Back in 2019.
Okay, well, we'll see. All right, so let me hit you with some new fights, all right?
All right.
Ioannian Jacek is fighting Rose Namajunas. This is the third title fight at UFC 217. George St. Pierre, Michael Bisping, Cody Garbrandt, TJ Dillashaw, and now Rose Namajunas versus Ioannian Jacek.
Going up against Deontay Wilder.
That's true.
Against no one.
All right, Donald Cerrone versus Darren Till at UFC Dansk. I think that's how it's called.
I just like your eyes when you did that.
Mickey Gall versus Randy Brown.
Yeah.
Tim Elliott versus Justin Scoggins. Karolina Kowalkiewicz versus Jody Escobel. And Aaron Pico versus Justin Lin.
That's awesome. And that is Take It or Leave It. This is Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
All right, Eddie Cross, we are back at 104.9 The Horn. And you're probably wondering, there's no champion fighting this week. It's UFC Pittsburgh. It's Luke Rockhold, the former champion.
Right, the former
versus
champion.
Versus the double champ, the champ, David Branch.
From World Series of Fight.
So that's, yeah, not as important. But there is a, and I'm excited. I'm excited to watch David Branch versus Luke Rockhold
you
this
are?
Weekend at Pittsburgh. Yeah, it's a good fight.
I think so.
But there's a much bigger fight, and it's not even the sport of MMA.
The
Battle for Supremacy Triple G versus Canelo, Eddie, is happening this weekend, Saturday night, in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. Eddie, what do you think? You excited? Are you excited for Triple G versus Canelo?
Cinnamon Saul, Canelo Alvarez. Dude, this is going to be a good one. Boxing has been looking forward to something like this for a long time. Really, the two best fighters.
Especially after Chocolatito losing last week.
I heard that was pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal. But
the Manny Pacquiao his last fight doesn't really count because he got robbed.
Yeah.
You know.
I was listening to something today and they called it the best of real boxing.
Okay.
So obviously a jab at Mayweather McGregor.
Right.
This is the best real boxing match you'll see all year.
And they're probably right.
Yeah, I mean not true.
Who's gonna go against that.
So people have been saying, Eddie, that Canelo, even Triple G has been saying that Canelo has been scared to fight Triple G. This fight is finally happening. And it's rare when we get, you know, two fighters in their prime fighting each other.
Well, obviously, that's the thing. Some people are saying that Triple G is actually on his way down. I've seen cartoons and editorials saying that Canelo's going in the Mayweather route. Waiting on guys
so
to
you
get
think
old.
Triple G? Oh, you think Triple G's on his way down?
Yeah.
Triple G does is
so
is,
Canelo's doing the Mayweather thing and letting guys get a little older before taking them on, which I'm not sure how much I can believe that.
Okay. Well, that actually makes me feel good for the pick. I'm
yeah.
I'm
and if you look at their make. Look at their fights, Canelo's had what?
He's 49-1-1. That
yeah.
one loss to Floyd Mayweather.
Right. And Triple G's only had 37 fights.
Yeah.
So
he's
even,
older.
So even if he is older, Canelo's got more miles on him. Yep. So that kind of evens it out to me.
That's true. You know, obviously.
And the power is the last thing to go.
Well, that's going to be interesting because I don't think Canelo's really ever felt someone with the power that Triple G has. And that's going to be what's tough is Triple G's going to try to use that left jab. He's going to try to control the ring. And I think that when Canelo feels that power that Triple G has, I mean, he's got 33 knockouts in his career. And so I think that Triple G is really going to be able to take advantage of that. You know, they say that styles make fights, Eddie. And this is a good stylistic matchup.
Yeah.
You know, Triple G is typically, he's an aggressive fighter. He comes forward. He's looking for that knockout.
Mm-hmm.
And Canelo is that counterpuncher. And so
that's perfect.
That's what he's looking for. He's looking to counterpunch. But he's very accurate in the way that he strikes and his counterpunching as well.
So the question is, has Canelo actually also adopted the Mayweather style of actually playing some defense? You know, boxing is stick and move, not just stand in the middle and brawl.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have as good movement
right.
as other people that Triple G has fought.
Right.
And so that's going to be one thing that's going to be tough for him. One thing that Canelo...
Is he going to be able to counterpunch when Triple G is coming at him without any good head movement, without some good defense? I mean, you're like just like a punching bag.
Well, one thing that Canelo is good at is he's good at striking to the body. And that's something that, you know, Danny Jacobs, Kell Brooks, they both had success when they were hitting Triple G to the body. And if Canelo can do that, he's going to be able to find some success in there. Obviously, you know, this is a great matchup. And Eddie, it takes a lot for me to get up and be excited about a boxing match. I'm excited
this.
This should be a fun the floor for this fight is pretty high. This should be a good fight.
The floor for this fight is above the ceiling for Mayweather McGregor.
Well, I'm sure there. So obviously the winner of this fight is going to be the biggest fighter or the best boxer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that Floyd Mayweather's gone. So I'm excited for this. So this will be good. I didn't say best. I said biggest.
Oh, okay.
I think Floyd, the biggest draw. You know, the winner of this fight is obviously going to be a big draw.
No, there's one more guy out there, but his name slips me right now.
Oh my gosh, you made me think of it. Is Lomachenko?
Yes.
Yeah. So no, Lomachenko. He is no. I he's gonna be
so
one of the
really
top ones.
Pronounce it. That's probably
yeah. Lomachenko. Can, yeah. He is. You know, obviously he looked great last time.
Yeah.
But yeah, this should be fun, Eddie. I'm excited. You know, hopefully this fight does well.
Hopefully it doesn't start until Texas USC ends.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm sure.
UFC Pittsburgh, I'll have on the DVR. I can watch it later.
Well, UFC Pittsburgh, I'm actually excited for UFC Pittsburgh. I don't think it's
really?
That bad of a fight card.
You're excited?
You know, Luke Rockhold versus David Branch. Luke Rockhold, the former champion, he hasn't fought since the last time that he lost his title to Michael Bisping.
He got left hooked
at
there.
UFC 199.
Yeah.
Right?
He kind of had to, like you, he went into his modeling career.
Well, no, he had an injury.
Like you, he's putting it on hold to
okay.
come back to mixed martial arts.
Well, I mean, it's full circle. I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, David Branch... He is on his second stint in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
He was the double champ at the World Series of Fighting, now the PFL,
yeah.
their middleweight and light heavyweight champion. I really think that he's coming back here kind of with a chip on his shoulder. Now, I told you last time, and I know you agree, he's not the most exciting of fighters.
I was there to see him at UFC 211 in Dallas, and it was definitely not the most exciting fight. It was definitely the most boring fight.
And he doesn't care.
Right.
Like, doesn't care. Like, he just wants to win because he knows that's how he gets paid. And if he can get closer to the title, he'll get more money.
And also, he did say that it's true. The UFC jitters are true. And even though it wasn't his first time in the UFC, coming back, he felt it. And he promised to be much more aggressive and better next time around.
The other thing I'm worried about is, you know, Luke Rockhold talked about how he only wanted to come back for a big fight. For a Chris Weidman, Yoel Romero, Jacare, or a title fight.
Yeah.
David Branch is not that, and I worry about Luke Rockhold overlooking David Branch the same way that he overlooked Michael Bisping. He's probably going to come in here thinking that he's got this, you know, pretty well in hand.
That's quite possible, and he's got a tendency to keep his hands down. That was one thing I noticed against Chris Weidman, and then that's how we got left hook Larry against Michael Bisping.
Yeah.
Not to mention being part of the AKA, the American Kickboxing Academy in California. Those guys are known for coming in injured if they come in at all.
Yeah.
Well, so who knows what kind of condition he'll be in. But, you know, David Branch has been talking some good smack this week.
Yeah, no, he's been good. It all comes back to that one, like, barbershop video that he put out there.
Yeah, and when he said, I didn't lose my titles, I gave them up.
Yeah.
Jab at Luke Rockhold for losing to Bisping.
Yeah, that happens.
That's good.
Also on the fight card, you got Mike Perry versus Thiago Alves. Now, I think Thiago Alves is on the way down. Mike Perry's on the way up.
Yeah, it's someone's going to sleep
with this that. Is a stepping stone fight for Mike Perry.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this is not bad. That's a fun co-main event to have for the night.
It is, and you know, Mike Perry's one of those guys who, come hell or high water, is going to bring it. You know, he might be adult outside the ring, but inside the ring, he is fun to watch.
Yeah, no, he does make some poor choices. I'm excited to see Hector Lombard come back and fight. That'll be another good one. So, he's fighting Anthony Smith. Anything else that stands out to you that'll be good? Christoph Jocko versus Uriah Hall. I remember I talked to Uriah Hall earlier this year, last month in July about that fight. And, you know, he's since moved his training camp. He's the guy with, the head kick knockout from Tough a few years ago.
Oh, I remember.
And he is obviously, he's moved his camp to Las Vegas. He's looking forward to this fight and trying to get back on track as well.
I was going to say Lando Venata, but then I remember that's UFC 216. Mm-hmm. So not just yet.
I know you love you some Lando Venata.
Yeah, Groovy Lando is the man.
Kamaru Usman, that's another good fight.
Yeah.
So these are on the Fox Sports 1 card, Eddie. You have the prelims and you have the main card on Fox Sports 1. But Luke Rockhold, former champion, that should be a fun night.
Yeah, you just have to watch out for the preemptions with college football on Fox Sports at the same time. So the beginning of
possibly Fox Sports 2 or FX.
The beginning of it will probably move to FS2.
Okay.
So you just got to kind of pay attention to what's going on. Read the crawl. Stay in tune.
Yeah, they do a good job at saying that. So, yeah. Eddie, I think it's time we make some picks.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. I'm going to let you write this down. So,
all right, so
Eddie,
no complaining from me this time.
Last week, Eddie, you made me pick with my heart when I picked BYU over Utah.
I don't think you could go back to Utah if you'd picked Utah.
So now I'm going to give you the same opportunity. Me being a Southern California boy, you being a Texas, we've got Texas at number 4, USC. Do you pick with your heart? Do you pick with your head?
I pick with my head. And my head says that even though USC looked like garbage against Western Michigan, they kind of righted the track against Stanford, which I picked wrong. So if they could do that against Stanford, they can definitely do it against Texas, unfortunately.
Now, I know of somebody here kind of in Austin Sports Radio. Did you see that USC does not count the loss to USC
at the Rose Bowl? My old friend Taylor tweeted that out.
Yeah, they're 4-0 against Texas.
I'm like, you vacate wins. You don't vacate losses.
You vacate losses as well.
That's some Aggie stuff
so,
right there.
There you go. I'm also taking USC,
yeah, USC went full Aggie. Just lost all respect.
That's pretty interesting. All right, so number 3, Clemson. Versus number 14, Louisville. Lamar Jackson, obviously, the Heisman winner.
You know, I've got some good friends from Clemson, but I'm not too sold on their quarterback yet. And at Louisville with Lamar Jackson, I'm picking the upset.
All right, I'll go with Clemson. All right, Tennessee.
Are you trolling me again?
No, I'm fine with that. Tennessee at Florida.
Man, Tennessee's got that orange I just can't sit with. It's a throw up inside of a pumpkin orange.
So you like the Florida's orange better?
Oh, if you don't know, there's this famous video of this Alabama fan that really hates Tennessee. I'm just quoting his lines. But yeah, I'm going to go with Florida.
Okay, I'll go with Tennessee. Man, all right, now let's get to some fights.
Just opposite night.
Hector Lombard versus Anthony Smith. Hector Lombard hasn't looked great recently, but...
But who is Anthony Smith?
There you go. I'm going with Hector
Lombard. Hector
Lombard,
yeah.
All right, Platinum Mike Perry versus Tiago Alves. I think we both go Mike Perry.
Yeah.
Luke Rockhold versus David Branch. I'm interested to see where you go on this one.
When Luke Rockhold is serious and he's on his game, he's one of the best in the business. But he has lapses during fights where he just gets too high on himself, I guess. Lets his hands down. Almost lost to Chris Weidman that way. Definitely lost to Mike Bisping that way. I'm going to pick David Branch with the upset.
All right, I will take Luke Rockhold. Well, finally, Triple G versus Canelo, Eddie. Who you got?
I am going with youth, and I'm going with Saul Cinnamon Canelo. Despite that cool shirt, it said, what was it?
Cinnamon is toast.
The sky is blue, water is wet, and Saturday cinnamon is toast. Because if you don't know, Canelo in Spanish means cinnamon.
There you go.
And that's what the nickname he's got because he's a redhead.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with Triple G. I think you got a Triple G by TKO in the 8th round or so. It should be a fun night. So,
and there's no way we're tying this week.
All right, though, Eddie, those are our picks. Guys, check us out at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Facebook. Have a good night. We will see you next week. Stay tuned for Sports Guys Talking Wrestling coming up next.
Have a good night.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.